This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville, Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, Taste the Homemade Goodness of Prairie Farms, Area Diesel Service of Carlinville, and M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And now with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here in Ag News on your Thursday afternoon. Voluntary private carbon market legislation gets a second shot today, Earth Day, as the Senate Ag Committee plans to vote on the bipartisan Growing Climate Solutions Act, first introduced last year. The reworked bill has 34 Senate co-sponsors, evenly split between the two parties, and backing from over 50 ag and environmental groups. We hear from lead Republican sponsor Mike Braun of Indiana on the speed of getting support.
That's close to the speed of light of getting something done and to this point.
Lead Democratic sponsor and Senate Ag Chairman Debbie Stabenow on the improvements to the bill.
We are adding more farmers, ranchers, and foresters to the advisory board to ensure producer input is heard. We're prioritizing equity to ensure its benefits reach underserved producers. We include the startup funds to get the USDA going quickly.
Some $4 million plus a new scientific analysis to support the effort that now has the strong backing of the American Farm Bureau, led by President Zippy Duval.
This legislation will help remove barriers and provide clarity to farmers and ranchers and forest owners as we consider participating in private carbon markets. The reality of private carbon markets today is a very difficult one, with different methods of measurements and a range of pricing systems.
Duval says the bill empowers USDA to let producers know of carbon market options and develop a certification program allowing farmers to reap profits from their climate-smart conservation efforts. In other Earth Day-related news, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Regan told lawmakers yesterday, Wednesday, the agency would not go back to the Obama-era definitions of the waters of the U.S. Regan made the comments as part of the 2022 budget requests for EPA during a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing. Reagan told the lawmakers, quote, "We don't have any intention of going back to the original Obama waters of the U.S. verbatim." The statement was in response to questions from two Republican members of the subcommittee. Reagan, who noted his meeting with top ag industry leaders, says, quote, "We all believe that the courts weighed in on the Obama rule and that the courts weighed in on Trump's navigable water rule." Reagan pledged to begin a stakeholder engagement process, including agriculture and environmental groups, to find a way to move forward, specifically in a way, Reagan says, quote, "where we don't overburden the small farmer, but we also balance the protection of wetlands," adding, "I think we can do it." Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack just announced recently that the USDA will be opening enrollment for the Conservation Reserve Program with higher payment rates, new incentives, and a more targeted focus on the program's role in climate change mitigation. Additionally, USDA is announcing investments and partnerships to increase climate-smart agriculture, including $330 million in 85 regional conservation partnership program projects and $25 million for on-farm conservation innovation trials. Secretary Vilsack made the announcement at yesterday Wednesday's White House National Climate Task Force meeting. Vilsack says, quote, "We need to invest in CRP and let it do what it does best, preserve the topsoil, sequester carbon, and reduce the impacts of climate change." USDA's goal is to enroll up to 4 million new acres in CRP by raising rental payment rates and expanding the number of incentivized environmental practices allowed under the program. USDA says CRP is one of the world's largest voluntary conservation programs with a long track record of success dating back to 1985. Moving on now into related crop news to our local area. It's been a tough week to be a seed across the Midwest, tough enough that one agronomist says farmers should just keep the planters out of the field for the time being. It's been a cold week throughout the Corn Belt, and it's been a snowy week, too, for the middle of April. Some field work has been done across the Corn Belt, but if he had his own decision to make, University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafsinger says he would postpone planting till the tail end of this week.
Ideally, you know, if we can postpone planting and get started the end of the week, where just the outlook for temperature then is going to be much more favorable, but that will come with increased chances of precipitation. I think we probably are better off taking that end of the risk rather than saying let's get it all planted before, you know, this cold spell is over with, and at least we'll have it in the ground.
And that sounds good, says Nafsinger, but the risk of the really cold temperatures creeping into the seed bed as it germinates and causing some later on growing season issues outweighs the benefits of just waiting to run your corn planter. And we do have those numbers of the amount of corn and beans planted up to this point before the cold spell. This report comes from the National Ag Statistics Service and has crop progress and conditions as of this past Sunday. Last week through Sunday, there were 4.8 days suitable to work in the field. Statewide, the average temperature last week was 49.5 degrees, about 3.5 degrees below normal. Precip averaged 14 hundredths of an inch, about 83 hundredths of an inch below normal. The topsoil moisture supply became drier and rated at 1% very short, 8% short, 82% adequate, and 9% surplus. Subsoil moisture also became drier and rated at 1% very short, 9% short, 78% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planted as of this last Sunday reached 12% compared to the 5-year average of 8%. Soybeans reached 5% planted as of Sunday compared to the 5-year average of only 1%. Winter wheat headed as of Sunday was 5% compared to the 5-year average of 4%. And winter wheat condition was rated at 10% very poor to poor, 21% fair, 53% good, and 16% excellent. In other state ag news for your Thursday, a lack of broadband access can impact family farmers' bottom line. That topic is part of discussion at a House Task Force on Rural Broadband meeting this week. Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, a member of that task force, questioned Dr. Johnny Park, CEO of the Wabash Heartland Innovation Network in Indiana.
Dr. Park, how do you see increased investments in rural broadband through fiber to the home and fixed wireless impacting our growers and our producers? You know, you said that that's among who you're working in your part of Indiana, but can you talk a little bit about how you see that impacting, especially their bottom lines?
Well, the recent USDA report was clear that the impact of connectivity in farmland is going to tremendously increase the bottom line for agricultural production. No question about it. So again, but we have to be careful. Having internet to residential applications versus having connectivity to sensors in the farmland, they are two different infrastructures. But if we build it together, it's much more cost effective. We're not going to have millions of people in a rural area, but we're going to have a vast amount of land that is ripe for digital agriculture, precision agriculture revolution. And that's where, in my mind, where tremendous opportunity lies. So we cannot forget the opportunity of precision agriculture in conjunction with meeting the needs of our rural American residents.
Bustos also says currently 3 in 10 rural Illinoisans lack access to high-speed broadband. And in the latest news from the Illinois Department of Agriculture, the ag director of the state says plans are already underway for a state fair in southern Illinois after the annual event in DeCoin was canceled last year due to the pandemic. The Benton News reports that Director Jerry Costello says the manager of the DeCoin State Fair and his team are going full bore just like they would any other year, though things might look a little different. The Illinois State Fair in Springfield is also being planned for August 12th through the 22nd. And then the DeCoin State Fair is about 5 days later, scheduled for August 27th through September 6th. And now finally, moving on to local ag news on your Thursday, don't forget the Macoupin County 4x4's 4-H Club is still continuing to have their food drive that'll go on now through Saturday. Items being collected include canned goods, soups, macaroni and cheese, peanut butter, jelly, and more. Those collection boxes are located at Randy's Market in Gillespie and Benelde, the Benelde Public Library, and Associated Bank in Mount Olive. For more information, you can call 217-835-2222. And coming up next weekend, April 30th and May 1st, the University of Illinois Extension Montgomery County Master Gardeners will be holding their Mother's Day Hanging Basket Sale, again held Friday, April 30th from 9 a.m. to 6, and again on Saturday, May 1st from 9 a.m. until they're sold out. The sale will take place in the parking lot between the Masonic Lodge and Brown's Insurance on South Main and Hillsboro. Proceeds from the benefit go to the Montgomery County Farmers Institute. And again, they'll have their 10-inch premium hanging baskets in assorted colors, sun and shade varieties, and all hanging baskets are $15. If you need more information on this upcoming hanging basket sale, you can call the U of I Extension in Hillsboro at 532-3941 and get a hold of Andrew Holsinger. Again, that's the Mother's Day hanging basket sale coming up on Friday, April 30th and Saturday, May 1st in Hillsboro. And that wraps up your Ag News here on a Thursday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Thursday afternoon, April 22nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.